As we consider the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. If you turn in the back of your hymnals to page 891, we have a summary, a teaching guide on the meaning of the fourth commandment. In the Heidelberg Catechism, page 891, Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Then let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis and Hebrews. The end of Genesis 1, page 2 in your Bibles, the end of Genesis 1. After God made the heavens, the earth, and everything in them in 6 days, we read in Genesis 1, verse 31, Genesis 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And then Hebrews 4. Flip over to almost the end of the Bible. Hebrews 4. Teaching on the Sabbath. Page 1189 in your pew Bibles. Hebrews 4, let's read verses 1 through 11. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, again from Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. This is God's word. Brothers and sisters, may he bless it to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, usually when we think of the Sabbath, we think of a day. But ultimately, the Sabbath in the Bible is not a day. It's a state or condition of true spiritual, eternal peace that we have in Christ. That we have in Christ's finished work on the cross. In him we have peace with God, and that is Sabbath rest. Sabbath is the rest of perfect peace. No violence, no struggle, no sadness, no hardship. Only happiness, only harmony, only beauty, where God is all in all. Sabbath is walking with God and with one another in perfect communion. That's ultimately what Sabbath is. That's rest. That's our true rest. Sabbath rest is a world without alarm systems, a world with no locked doors. You can leave the keys in the ignition and no one will steal your vehicle. It's a world with no squabbles, no fights, no riots, no guns, no prisons, no abuse, no racism, no fear, no painful memories. What a world. A world where the wolf will lie down with the lamb and a child can safely put his hand in the hole of the cobra. That's rest. And if we really want to understand the purpose of the Sabbath day, like today, Sunday, we have to see Sabbath day as a window that looks out upon something far bigger than the day. Total peace and rest forever and ever in heaven or heaven on earth. So if you really want to keep Sabbath, you have to yearn for this. Is that what we yearn for? Such a world? New creation? It's coming. It's on the way. And do you know how to get there? Jesus is the doorway there. That's why he's our rest. And the weekly Sabbath, the day, like today, that's a special time of the week graciously given us by God to help us focus on that eternal rest. It's like a stepping stone. That's its purpose, to increase our longing for the eternal Sabbath. To help keep our eye on that prize of glory. And that's why the Sabbath day, like today, Sunday, is such a special time set apart by God to focus on our rest in Christ and the fellowship that we have in our God, God our Father through Christ. We want to see that Sabbath is really Father's Day. It's a day to celebrate the communion that we have with God our Father through Christ. Looking forward to that eternal communion, never-ending Father's Day in heaven. We want to see, first of all, creation's day of rest. And then secondly, salvation's day of rest. And thirdly, God's eternal rest. This afternoon, with God's help, we want to focus on the ultimate meaning of the Sabbath, and then next week, Lord willing, the guarding the Sabbath day, how to protect the Sabbath day. Creation's day of rest, first of all. On the seventh day, we read in Genesis 2, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. That's where Sabbath starts. God rested. Not because of exhaustion, God doesn't get tired, but for satisfaction, to enjoy all that he had made, to look upon it. That's where it starts. God rested at the beginning. He blessed that seventh day, and he made it holy. That is, he set it apart for special use. The Sabbath day was not instituted at Mount Sinai. Some people say it was a law just for Israel, the law for the day. No, it comes much earlier than that. Along with marriage and work, Sabbath is an institution of creation meant for all people. Jesus said Sabbath was made for man. So imagine that first Sabbath day long ago. Adam and Eve were created on day 6. They had work to do on that day. Next day, day off. Next day was the seventh day. More than a day off, it was a day of rest. So there they were, walking and talking with God, the first Father's Day, special Father's Day. Day with God, their heavenly Father, enjoying with God all that he had made, worshiping him, glorifying him. You see, God was in covenant with Adam and Eve. And the essence of covenant is this: I will live among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And that's what they had. Well, what a beautiful fellowship for Adam and Eve that they enjoyed with God at creation, especially on the Sabbath day where they ceased from their labors to delight in the Lord, their heavenly Father, and to delight in his works in a special way. What a day that was. Now, God was with them all the time as their Father, every day of the week. But every seventh day was in a special way Father's Day. Now, for God, that day of rest is eternal. He finished the work of creation, and he entered into eternal rest from his creating work. But for Adam and Eve, they had to obey God in order to enter into that eternal rest with the Father. And in order to help them get there, they had to observe every seventh day. It's a day of refocusing on God, their creator. The fact that God had made them for him, to enjoy him forever. And he was their purpose in life. Man's soul was to find his rest in God, not in himself. God is our pleasure. He's our fulfillment. And that's what Hebrews is talking about. Hebrews 4. God created man so that man might glorify God and enjoy him forever. God created man so that man might rest in God forever. And to rest in God means to trust in him, to walk and talk with God, to listen to him, to have complete peace with God. And when God rested from his works, do you know what he called that? Psalm 95, Hebrews 4. He called it my rest. That's my rest. And I want you, mankind, I want you, Adam and Eve, to enter into my rest. I want you to get that to that spot where you are done your work too that I've given you to do, and you can rest with me forever in the joy of eternity, eternal Sabbath. And that's what Hebrews is talking about. If you go to Hebrews 4, verse 1, we'll take a closer look at this passage. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, he's talking about entering the eternal rest. The promise of entering his rest still stands. And verse 3, for we who believe enter that rest. As Psalm 95 says, those who did not believe did not enter my rest, God's rest. So we who believe enter God's rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. See, that rest on the seventh day in Genesis 2 is for God, my rest, eternal rest. That's what it is for God. And we're called to reach forward to that eternal rest and make that the goal of our lives. The Bible clearly connects God's rest on the seventh day as that eternal rest that he shares with his people and that we receive, we enter by faith. So we ask this question about the meaning of the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy. What's the main issue of keeping Sunday holy? The main issue is, did you mow your lawn? No, that's not your main issue. Did you refrain from mowing your lawn? No, that's not the main issue. Did you avoid doing homework? No, that's not the main issue. We hope to touch on those things next week. The main issue is, are you using Sunday, or the Jewish people, Saturday? Are you using Sabbath day to press forward to that eternal Father's Day, God's rest, to enter his rest? That's the core of keeping the Sabbath day holy. Are you yearning to reach that promised land of rest where you can spend eternity with God? If you do everything right on Sundays, carefully avoid working, make sure you go to church, but don't focus on God's rest, entering the eternal Sabbath, you have no idea what Sabbath day is about. You're not keeping Sabbath at all. We have to keep our focus there. Is that the deepest craving of your heart, brothers and sisters? Is it really the deepest craving of your heart to walk and talk with God again in the new Garden of Eden and the new creation? To enjoy his rest, the rest that God the Father has entered and is enjoying right now? May God make that the deepest craving of our lives. Verse 4 says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Sorry, verse 1. That promise still stands. Be afraid that you won't reach it. Be afraid that you won't reach it. That you'll lose that focus on God and glorifying him and finding peace and rest in him. Because then, like the people in the wilderness, you're on your way to the promised land, and through unbelief, you'll never get there. You'll perish, your corpse will perish in the wilderness. That's what we go to secondly, salvation's day of rest. There's a twist, there's a turn in the Sabbath story in Genesis 3. God made man to enter his eternal rest, the eternal Father's Day. And he gave him a weekly Father's Day, put his stamp of holiness on it. This is to help you focus and remember why you're here, what you're doing all the 6 days. And they lost it. Because of the unbelief of the human race, because of our sin, Adam and Eve no longer had access to the eternal Father's Day. And one day, God the Father came walking in the cool of the day to walk and talk with Adam and Eve, and they were nowhere to be found. They hid. What was going on? Their lives were covered with sin and shame. And since that day, the human race is shut off from communion with God, from Sabbath rest. Because God, our Holy Father, cannot accept sinners into his rest. We're condemned to an eternity of wandering and homelessness. Unless God in his mercy opens up a way for us again to enter his rest. We've cut ourselves off from that communion with God, that eternal rest, by our sin. But what if God opens up a door of forgiveness? What if God finds a way to put away our sin and curse and punishment and make us clean and holy again and say, you have access to Father's Day again, to communion with God? And that's what he did through the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's the good news. God so loved us when we went astray that he provided a way for us to return to him as our Father and enjoy rest with him again. And what Hebrews 4 is saying is the way back to God's rest, to what God calls my rest, is not through Moses. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt to go to the promised land, but they failed to enter because of unbelief. 4 verse 6, those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. It didn't work. They ended up wandering in circles, round and around and around in the wilderness for 40 years. And brothers and sisters, that's what unbelief does. It makes you non-directional. Instead of your focus being on entering God's rest, pursuing God as your Savior and lover, you lose your way, and then you're condemned to go in circles, round and round and round, and never find your way. There's no rest in that. And then Hebrews 4, 7, and 8 says, nor did Joshua give this people that rest, that eternal rest. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, verse 7, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Joshua brought them into the promised land, but that was full of trouble too. There was no ultimate rest there. That wasn't the ultimate Father's Day. It was a type, yes, a picture. But it wasn't the rest of the Garden of Eden. Lots of pain and trouble there. Lots of sin and wickedness. Lots of war and sadness. But the key is found in verses 9 and 10. Here's how you reach the rest of salvation. Salvation's rest. So then, Moses couldn't do it. Joshua couldn't bring us back to the eternal Father's rest. Who can do it? So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Now that's hard to understand. But if you reread verse 10 with the word he, it makes it much more understandable. Let's reread verses 9 and 10, but change a couple of words. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for he who has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. That he is Jesus. Jesus Christ has finished his work, just like God the Father finished his work at creation and entered his eternal rest. When we lost access to that rest by sin, God sent his Son to do the work of salvation for us, and Jesus finished that work on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the first day of the week. He died for our sin. He rose again from the grave. He did all the work necessary for us to enter our rest. And just like God the Father at the beginning, Jesus entered his rest on Easter Sunday, the first day of the week. He's gone ahead of us. He's entered the Father's rest. Jesus is in the eternal Father's day. And he did that for us so that we might, through faith, follow Jesus into the eternal Father's day. What Moses couldn't do and Joshua couldn't do, Jesus did. He alone could do the work that we need to enjoy eternal communion with God the Father. To really enjoy God, glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. Jesus is that door. And Jesus did that work fully and perfectly and joyfully. He could rightly say on the cross, "It is finished." He truly finished our work of salvation. And by doing that, he's opened a door for us to enter God's rest. And because of Jesus' finished work, brothers and sisters, we have rest. We can know God as our Father. We can be spiritually at rest in God. We can rest from the guilt of our sin. We can rest from the punishment of our sin. We can rest from worry about hell. We can rest from worry about dying, fear of death. We can rest from fear of judgment. We can have perfect peace and rest with God through Jesus Christ. We don't have to spend forever going round and round in circles as homeless wanderers, lost and separated from God because of our unbelief. And how do we receive this? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you really want to know the meaning of Sabbath rest, if you really want to know what Father's Day is, fellowship with God the Father, come to Jesus. He's our peace. He's our way to God. He's our access to the Father. You cannot find rest through your own work. We often live as if our own good works can bring us closer to God, but it's a hopeless treadmill. It's depressing. It gets us nowhere but further behind every day. But there's one who's done all the work for us, and he finished it. So he could enter God's rest. And if you trust in him, you also are finished your work. And you can enter God's rest by faith. And that rest begins already now in this life. And it becomes perfect when we die and when Jesus returns. And that's what we see thirdly as our heavenly rest, God's eternal rest. Hebrews 4 verse 11 is the whole point. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. That rest that the Father entered when he was done creating. The rest that Jesus entered when he was done the work of salvation. Now let us enter that rest. So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience as the people in the Old Testament. Strive to enter that rest. Strive to enter that rest by faith. That takes us back to verses 1 and 2. It's the boundaries of that passage. Hebrews 4:1 and 2. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. They did not believe it. And so they perished. Don't follow that route, but strive to enter that rest by fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and never let go of him. He is the way to Father's Day, eternal Father's Day. It's so easy to become like that congregation of Israel in the wilderness, who lost their bearings. Can you imagine that? Scorpions, snakes, drought. Where's the water? Where's the food? Quarreling with people in the next tent, getting on each other's nerves in the heat. I don't think we would do very well in that context with about 2 million people. It's really no different today, is it? Let us strive to enter that rest. And that brings us to the conclusion, the purpose of the daily, the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath. What's the purpose of Sundays? Sundays are a day of refreshment and encouragement in our faith to help us keep our eyes fixed on the promised land of heaven so we don't lose our bearings. So that the heat of the day, the lack of food, the difficulty of paying the bills, the quarreling with our neighbors, the temptations, the trials, the worries, the sickness, the sorrows, do not become sand in the eyes so that we can't see anymore. It's a day for washing out the eyes with all the troubles of the week. A weekly Father's Day, as it were. A weekly Jesus Day. A weekly focus on that final rest. And that's what verse 9 is talking about. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The word rest is used 12 times in Hebrews 3 and 4. 11 out of the 12 times, it's the word katapausis, which means peace and rest, eternal peace and rest. One time, and it's found in verse 9, it's a different word, sabbatismos. So there remains a sabbatismos for the people of God. And here, it's a different word given to us by the Holy Spirit. It means, so there remains a Sabbath observance, a Sabbath keeping. This is the weekly Sabbath. All the other uses are the eternal Sabbath. Verse 9 is the weekly Sabbath. So here's the point. As you strive to enter the eternal Father's Day, the place where Jesus is, the promised land of heaven, there remains for you the gift of a weekly Sabbath to help you focus and to get your bearings so you don't lose your way. I think of car racing, the importance of a pit stop. What if you don't use the pit stop? You're not going to finish the race. You need the pit stop to refuel, to change the tires, to make adjustments, to make repairs. Or you're not going to reach the end of the marathon. It's even more so, spiritually speaking, for the people of God heading toward the promised land, you need a pit stop. You need to recharge. You need to refuel. You need to get back into the Word. The Sabbath is such an important way, John 15, to abide in the vine. to strengthen that connection with Jesus Christ, your Savior, to be in the Word, to be with God's people, to use the means of grace. It's a weekly Father's Day, which provides for us a foretaste of the eternal Father's Day to strengthen us for the journey so that we can reach the promised land. Well, brothers and sisters, we need this day badly because there's so much to distract us and take us out of the way of Christ. I think of the things that can distract me as a pastor. And I look at you in the congregation, there in the trenches during the week, and all the troubles at work and the struggles at home, all the temptations, all the seductive ads, all the hobbies that can get in the way, all the things that are there to crowd out the focus on God our Savior. And we need a day, pit stop, to put everything aside and to be serious about that. Put everything aside and celebrate God. Celebrate the finished work of Christ. And increase our craving for heaven, our yearning for the promised land. Well, brothers and sisters, there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Let us make every effort to enter that rest. By calling upon God every day of the week, but by using that pit stop that He has so kindly provided for us, because He knows how badly we need it, that pit stop called Sunday, day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest, from our earthly cares set free, may we rest this day in Thee. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of our everlasting feast. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove till we join the church above.